Welcome to the Honestly Carly podcast, the truth about staying strong, sane, and seen in midlife. This is the podcast where fitness, hormone health, and real life collide, hosted by me, Carly Corrigal, midlife PT and former lawyer. I'm here with honest conversations about what it actually takes to feel incredible over 40, because yep, that's still possible. Hello and welcome to the Honestly Carly podcast. I am your host, as ever, Carly Corrigal, and this week it's a personal one, but one that I think is really applicable to you. And I apologise for the slightly clickbaity title, but I thought it might pique your interest on a subject that is often literally dry as a bone, your bones and your bone health. Now, very short overview of why we're here is that last week I went for a DEXA scan. I will explain exactly what this is in a moment. But if you spend any time on the internet, you'll know that scans like this tend to get talked about in a really particular way. We hear a lot about scanning for body fat percentages, for lean mass, those kind of before and after transformations. But I'll tell you what, lying there on that scanning table, perfectly still, my arms by my side, my feet in this really odd angle, you have to kind of turn your feet in. Whilst that scanner moved slowly over me, I did find myself thinking about something slightly different. And it was about the irony of so much of this conversation around midlife bodies being about belly fat and being, you know, your fittest, strongest self, but actually not a lot of detail around our bone health. Because one of the things that happens in our midlife, particularly for women, is that our bone density starts to decline. And this often happens really quietly, often without us noticing. And the first time you might be aware of it might be when you go for a scan like this. But the consequences of those declines in bones don't show up next month or even next year. They actually show up decades later sometimes, which got me thinking about the way we talk about fitness in midlife. And if you went into my DMs and saw the questions that women ask me, the concerns are usually quite immediate. Often, as I say, it is about belly fat. Carly, how do I get rid of my belly fat? My shape is changing. And indeed, I have whole podcast episodes on this. Go back through. People talking about, I need to get stronger in my arms. I need to improve my fitness. My running's feeling really hard. Even how do I get back into my jeans? And listen, I completely understand that. These sort of visible, immediate changes are really motivating and they're tangible. And actually, they're the things that we notice first in the mirror. And I'm not saying anyone is vain here. I've had these thoughts as well. But I want you to treat them as a cue for you to do something differently around your body. Because the truth is, the things that will matter most for your health over the next 20 or 30 years are often the things that you can't see. Your muscle mass, your strength, and the last few episodes, if you go back, not the last one, but the two before that, were all about building strength and muscle in your 40s and beyond, but also your bone density. And what I do sometimes, I'm a bit sneaky, I lure you in chatting about the things that you might have noticed, that maybe that change in your shape, the fact that you've carrying that little bit of extra weight around your tummy, your workouts don't feel like you're working. But what I've actually got in the back of my mind is your long-term health. What I'm actually thinking about is how you are going to feel in 20 years, in 30 years, God willing, in 40, 50 years from now, because we're going to live forever, right? But that's what I'm going. So I'm giving you what you think you want on the surface, getting you into my world, and then I am giving you what I know you need, my friends. So let's have a little chat about DEXA scans, because I've had a ton of questions about these over on my Instagram. So I'm going to get this. I'm going to try really hard to get the pronunciation correctly. But DEXA is actually an acronym, D-E-X-A. Sometimes it's written as D-X-A, which stands for Dual Energy X-ray Absorptiometry. I think I've said that right. And basically, it's the gold standard test used to measure bone mineral density, which is the quality and strength of your bones. Okay. So it uses a very low dose X-ray beam to measure how dense those bones are. And then it focuses on kind of the areas that are most prone to fractures. So usually that's the hip and the lumbar spine. And I think sometimes the forearm as well, although I didn't have my forearm scanned. So the whole process is really quick. Mine took like 10 minutes. It was really, really fast, completely painless. You get exposed to a very small amount of radiation, so less than a standard kind of chest x-ray. But obviously there is a radiation risk, so it's not something you're going to want to be doing all the time. They can also measure body composition, so looking at your body fat percentage, how much muscle you're carrying. And actually, I had that done as well, but I'm not going to talk about that here today. But clinically, the main purpose is to look at your bone health. And you can get these done privately. I paid to have mine done privately at a local clinic, and I will pop details of that in the show notes because they were excellent. But if you are at risk of having compromised bone density, you might have a referral here in the UK on the NHS. So what you get as a result is usually given as something called a T-score. So you're looking at this score, and I'm not going to attempt to blind you with science going into what those scores mean, because you should have that explained to you when you get your results through. But what we're looking for here is whether you are all fine and dandy, your bones are doing well, which I'm really over the moon, and that is not even an understatement. I'm delighted to say that mine are fine and dandy. Or you might get a diagnosis of something called osteopenia, which is essentially a warning zone where your bones aren't quite where they should be based on your age. Or if we get further into that realm, something that you will most likely all have heard of, osteoporosis. But the key thing is, if you're diagnosed with a slightly low bone density, is that you can make changes to your lifestyle, which are going to improve your prospects here. So please don't think, oh my gosh, it's really scary, I'm too far gone, I shouldn't go for one. If you are at all worried, I know it's an expense if you're going privately, but the peace of mind and knowing what you're dealing with is so, so important. Now, why are we at risk here particularly? Well, everybody will experience an age-related decline in their bone quality, but this accelerates quite dramatically during the menopause transition, because estrogen actually plays a huge role in maintaining your bone. So when those estrogen levels drop, then the bone breakdown speeds up and the bone rebuilding slows down, because I explained this a few weeks ago and people were like, you've blown my mind. But bone isn't this like dry old thing that just sits there. It's actually something that's constantly being remodeled and renewed. Okay. So the result in that situation where you've got that breakdown speeding up and the rebuilding slowing down is a net loss. So bones are a bit like muscles in that they respond to stress. And if we never ask them to work, they slowly become weaker. But when we load them up through strength training, impact, movement, they adapt and they become stronger. Okay. So this means that we are at risk, and we really don't want to go down that road, because particularly hip fractures in older age carry a significant consequence. There is a higher risk of mortality if you've had a hip fracture in older age, which is largely due to complications and loss of independence, which is pretty sobering. In an older adult, it can be incredibly debilitating. That loss of independence, maybe even needing to go into assisted living or to have a carer come and help you as a result of it, because it's really hard to come back from. I really, really don't want any of us to be in that position. Okay. And I don't want you to think that this is completely bleak, because there are loads of things that we can do, but things that might put you at risk or at higher risk of developing osteopenia or osteoporosis are, of course, as I said, going through the menopause, but also having an early menopause, because we are without those hormones for longer. If you have a low muscle mass, if you're inactive, if you have a low protein or calcium intake or a long-term vitamin D deficiency, if you've got a small body frame, family history. So maybe you've got your mum who has had an early hip fracture, for example. If you're a smoker, hopefully none of you here are smokers. If you have a high alcohol intake, or if you're on long-term steroid medications, and there are other conditions as well that can lead into this. So it's by no means a foregone conclusion that this is where you're going to end up if you are at risk. But this is why it's so important, right? So we can actually do stuff about it, okay? So, my friends, what is it that we can do? Now, when I was laying there on that scanning bed, my mind was going back to all the things that I didn't do in my 20s and my 30s to really give myself the best possible chance, because we don't think about it. And this is what I mean. I think it just slips under the radar for many of us, but it is never too late to make those changes. Fat. I completely understand that. I've been there myself. But when you zoom out and look at the research around muscle, bone density and aging, you realise that the real goal in midlife isn't just about looking better. It's about building a body that's still strong, like mobile and independent decades from now. So in my 20s and my 30s, I mean, inevitably, I worked in the city. So it was like, you know, very much work hard, play hard environment. And, you know, I was a binge drinker in my 20s, as many of us were. I don't really drink at all now. So I think I've probably had my lifetime fill worth of alcohol. I didn't do strength training. I might have done like the odd body pump class. But to be honest, before I was a PT, I didn't really get it. I didn't really see the point. It was boring. I'd much rather go for a run. And that's what I did. I did kind of like body balance or yoga to chill myself out. Then I just used to, you know, go out and run on no sleep and having drunk a skinful the night before. So that was kind of my 20s. Getting into my 30s, you know, you're kind of distracted by children. Again, when you've got a finite amount of time to exercise, and I only trained as a PT in the years following the birth of my children, when I was like, no, I really want to get myself back to full health and strength. I didn't really think about it. It was kind of like a nice add-on. When I kind of could fit it in, it was rather half-hearted, if I'm totally honest. I wasn't sort of pushing myself, especially. It was like, oh, I probably should do some strength training as well. But what we know about strength training is it's that mechanical loading that stimulates those bone cells to build new bone. And I talked about this on the strength training podcast a few weeks ago, that first episode. And it's when we pull on that bone that it creates that stress in the bone that causes it to build back and build back strongly. So resistance training, lifting weights, and also impact exercise, which I'll come on to in a minute, is highly stimulating for that bone. It's really, really useful. The impact point is really key, because I think often we think, well, I do a lot of cardio work, but is it really impactful? You want to be creating that stress. You want to be weight bearing. So things like swimming and cycling are great for your cardio health, but they're not going to stimulate your bone as strongly because they are non-weight bearing. So we're looking at, running as one part of that, but things like stair climbing, plyometric work, which I pop into all my classes, by the way, that are really, really important. So we need to be doing those types of training. There are, of course, lots of dietary things that we can do, lifestyle things that we can do, looking after our stress levels, making sure we're not excessively drinking alcohol, that we're not smoking ever anyway. But there's loads we can do. And I was there having this scan thinking, I just hope I've done enough, because my attitude to this really only crystallized when I started experiencing some signs of perimenopause. And for me, talking about that belly fat point, this was like my external nudge. It was like, okay, Carly, you are getting older. You are changing. Your body is changing. And you've got a pivot point here. Okay, you're not going to just take this lying down, right? This is you. That was my cue to go, right, we need to really shape up. We need to look at all of the things that you can be doing for your health and your body in the long term. Because it's really hard to look at yourself or think about yourself at age 70, at age 80, we find it really hard as humans, how our brain works. We can't jump forward and put ourselves in that position. But I'd like you to try, because it's really, really important. And I think there's nothing like having a bit of a scare sometimes to make you really think about these things. And that is primarily why I wanted to talk about this week, because it does kind of flash before your eyes and bring it into very, very sharp focus. So my friends, there's lots we can do. And I don't want you to be thinking, oh God, there's literally no hope for me. Or if you are an older lady thinking, oh, my time has passed, please don't think that. My own mum had an early hip fracture in her 50s, had a full hip replacement, and she does absolutely everything she can to improve her bone health now. She is an enormous inspiration to me. She does my classes every week. She does strength work. She lifts heavy. She does the plyometric work, everything, and she's doing everything she can. So we just need to maximize our chances. And you may be really unlucky with your health, and that is absolutely nothing you can do about that. But please know that there are always things that you can do to improve your prospects. I want to say that there is no shame in going to work with a fitness coach because you're worried about the stuff on the outside or the immediacy, okay? most women do come to fitness coaches, and I can see this because I can see where my clicks come in on my Instagram, when I get comments, when I get views. I've got a sneaky thing. If you've downloaded my freebie, my training tweet guide, you might have come into that via ads that I've run or posts that I've done all around belly fat. And yes, it's a big concern, as I said at the top of the episode, and we do not want that visceral fat, that fat padding your organs, because that is damaging to your health in the long term. And I don't want you to feel rubbish or unconfident in your clothes, but many women will find me this way. And I am quite sneaky, because once you're in my world, I will get you to look at all of the other things, because they really matter as well. And when you're lying on that scan table and looking at your bone density, you realize that the real question isn't actually what your stomach looks like this summer and whether you can fit your summer clothes on, but it's actually how strong your skeleton's going to be when you're 80. And this is what I want to bring you. And I always want to be giving you what I think you need, as well as what you think that you want, okay? It's always going to be that little push and pull with me. So if you're here for that, then you are absolutely in the right place. And I totally understand. I'm not telling you that you are vain, that you are short-termist, that you're silly for not worrying about these things. But I really would encourage you to think about what you see in the mirror as being the thing that gets your attention, okay? But the real work that we're doing in midlife, the strength training, the impact work, the HIIT, the plyometrics, the looking after your stress levels, okay, the eating well, the nourishing your body, the getting the downtime, right? That's happening on a much deeper level, okay? Short-term motivation is going to get you through the door, but long-term thinking, that's what's going to keep you strong enough to be running up the stairs when you're 80. My friends, this is my mission statement. And if you want to come along with me for the ride, all my programs are here, ready and waiting for you. You just need to tap the links in the show notes and you can try classes with me that are going to get you your fittest and your strongest, not just for now, but in the really long term. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you next week. Bye. Thank you for listening to Honestly Carly. If you love today's chat, then why not share it with a friend? Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you're feeling really kind, leave a 5-star review. I'll see you next time for more honest chat and science-backed strategy for feeling strong, confident, and capable in midlife. Have a great week.